Hey, 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 closet busters and bold move makers. It is time once again for Life Uncloset. So I want you to gather around because it is time once again to kick down those closet doors of your life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemons. I'm the bold move expert and that coming out guy who's going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloset. So come on along with me and grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step into facing your fears, making your bold moves, and living life without apologies. Now let's get to the show. Hello, Life Uncloseted family, and here we are. We are jumping into April already. Is this just crazy? This year is flying by. But as we start this year, and I know it sounds weird to say we start, we're already in the second quarter, so to speak, but one of the things that we just can't seem to help ignore is in our world is we have mental health crises happening every day in every way all around us. Everything from, well, I'm not going to call anything simple, but, you know, possibly coping with slight bouts of depression all the way to other stuff that takes people really completely out of their own way of being able to cope. And as LGBTQ individuals, this becomes really important to watch because sometimes just being who we are as LGBTQ people can drive a lot of this mental health sort of feelings that we have. I'm really excited to have a guest on who is willing to talk about this from his own perspective. He has a pretty amazing life of doing a lot of different things, everything from being the director of children's services at Erickson Public Library in Boone, Iowa, to having done some, well, pretty cool things that I'm just going to say, let him talk about something he may have done with NASA and things like that. But he also is willing to talk about his own challenges and his own trials as a gay man who struggles with his own mental health challenges. His name is Zachary Steer, and I'm really excited to introduce you to him and to have him share his own different coming out stories about not only being gay, but coming out about his own mental health. So Zachary, welcome to the podcast, man. I'm really glad to have you.
Yeah, you bet. This is great. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course. And for the audience, we've been working on this for a while. Every time Zach would have, we'd have it scheduled, I'd have to change things. So I'm grateful we're here today because yeah. I was beginning to wonder, honestly, Zachary, if we were ever going to make it. But
This is great. Here we are,
so, yeah. But so you've done a lot of different things. You've done things with schools and, you know, bigger companies and activating in communities and, you know, just a lot of different things. So why don't we talk about, you know, let's start with your company. You know, you have your own company, Mr. Z and company sort of thing. Yeah. What kind of brought that all into being for you?
That's a great start of our conversation. So my background is actually in libraries. I've been in libraries since I was 15. But really what brought about the company was a mixture between libraries. One of my areas of expertise is storytelling. But I also have a learning disability. And when I finished my first master's, I really sat there and I thought, how did I get here? Not just because of will, tenacity, and advocating and really good parents that made sure that, you know, I could go after my dreams. But I had to kind of discover who I was as a learner. And what I realized was that storytelling, especially, has done that. And so I wanted to develop a company where I could offer my insight, my expertise, and really gather individuals together to share their own stories and empower them to say, hey, look, you know, just because you learn this way and you see the world this way, don't, you know, think that that's wrong or bad. Let's use those as a tool. And so I do work with libraries. I work with educators, you know, really diving into different sessions on education and learning disabilities and storytelling and STEM and just all sorts of stuff. I never wanted a company that focused just on one particular topic or area. And so now I'm kind of jumping into creativity and learning that way. So it's almost 10 years since I opened it. It's me. It's just a consultancy. You know, it's a side gig for me, side business. And Mr. Z, that's how I'm known or who I'm known in the library world. So I wanted to build a company around that as well.
That's very cool, man. And, you know, it's interesting how our passions you know, often launch something that we, you know, didn't ever really see coming. I mean, none of what I do, I would have never saw coming 30 years ago. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm going to be corporate America guy and climb the ladder and travel the world and all this sort of stuff. And I don't regret any of that because it actually really set me up nicely for where I am today. But you did, as you were talking through all that, you did say you had a learning disability. And I think sometimes we don't want to share those pieces of ourselves, kind of like coming out of the closet. You know, it's really hard to say I'm gay or a lesbian or bi or trans or any of these things we are. So do you feel like coming to terms with your learning disability helped you in some way with coming to terms with who you were as a gay man, or were they simultaneous? Sure. Did one come, you know, was it the chicken before the egg? What kind of helped you along the way the most, do you think?
It's a very great question. A little complicated, but I'll try to unpack it within the time that we have. So, you know, it really depends on the individual that you talk to, right? About, you know, coming out as gay. So I knew early on that I was different. I didn't know what word or term. I was very blessed to be in a household that allowed me to explore and allowed me to be who I wanted to be. But in terms of the learning disability, I have one parent with dyslexia and another parent with epilepsy, and I have a brother with developmental disability. So we are a jam-packed family of fun here with learning disabilities and stuff. Early on, my parents taught me to advocate and to be at the table. To be my advocate. They were my advocate as well. But I never have shied away from talking about my learning disability because it's my authentic self. And it has allowed me to have this amazing career, to use all sorts of skills and to share that with the world and say, hey, look, you know, this way of learning is a way to function, and it's not something to be ashamed of. Now, I will say, as with any journey, there are obstacles that come. One of the major obstacles in my mid-30s, I'm realizing now, is this misunderstanding. And the misunderstanding is that maybe there is only one direction. So education pushes it in one way and says, you're not, you know, meeting these benchmarks. Well, I'm not meeting the benchmarks in what you're asking me or how you're asking me to do it, but I can meet them this way. Right. So, you know, when it came to having a conversation outside of, you know, high school, there was not a lot of enthusiasm to say, you should go to college. Right. Well, I will determine what I will or can and can't do. So I was a little ticked off by that. In my one of my last meetings in high school, I entered, you know, higher education, and I really said, if I can't make it here, I'm going to have to figure this out. So I did go into a community college. It was the best two and a half years. And it really did take me, though, a very long time to say, wow, I am an intelligent individual with a learning disability. I was diagnosis twice exceptional, which means I have a disability, but I also have an exceptional side, which basically means I'm just a human being. I think we all have that in some way, shape, or form. So, as far as, you know, coming out as a gay man, that's one reason why I'm glad to be on here, because that's the most complex one that I'm still trying to unpack. Not as, you know, easy for me as the learning disability. So,
well, and I don't know that for any of us, it's ever easy to completely unpack this. You know, I work with people and in all ages. I'm a 60-year-old gay man, and there's still things that I'm like, okay, there's moments that I unpack, like, okay, well, what does that mean to me, you know, as a gay man or as a gay dad or as a husband, you know, all these different things show up. And it's interesting when it hits. You know, I was having a conversation with a client the other day, and then he's a little bit older than me. And he's like, you know, I think about things like, okay, well, what happens when, you know, my husband and I, you know, God willing, that, you know, we're both still together and around when it comes time to consider a, you know, retirement, you know, area or a retirement center, you know. And I've thought about it in weird ways because my parents are still alive. And so I think about, okay, well, you know, what does this look like if, you know, if and when we put them in some place? Well, they're a heterosexual couple. There's other things that show up, you know, for us as gay individuals that people don't even think about at times because it's like, it is what it is, right? But then suddenly you have those crossroads. So I love that you're talking through this, that, you know, there's still things you're accepting about yourself, because I feel like this podcast, Life Uncloseted, is about helping us realize it's a continuous journey. Mm-hmm. There is no end. There is no end, quote unquote, to coming out. Even just doing this podcast in an interesting way, depending on how many people end up, you know, downloading this, Zachary, you're coming out to anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 people on this podcast in this episode, right? So I think the beauty of it is we learn from our own journeys how, whether we're coming out about, you know, being exceptional, or that we are going to struggle with something, or that we had a family who is, you know, every member has some, you know, mental, physical challenge. It's about just being authentically who we are. And that was one of the things. So for the audience, I'm going to kind of share like how we even got connected. It was through LinkedIn. And when you reached out to me and I was like, okay, well, this could be, you know, interesting. I get hit up a lot, but I'm always looking for the unique angle. And the unique angle was you were open about your challenges and stuff. And sometimes I think we forget that our only challenge isn't just being LGBTQ. There's all these other layers that we contend with that also influences who we are. So as you've worked through, you know, everything, and I love that you're a storyteller, because I love that. I'm a storyteller too. That's what's put me on numerous stages throughout my career. What is the story you would most like people to hear from you that would inspire them? As a general brushstroke, like, is it, oh, look, he's a guy who's, you know, got a mental health issue, which we haven't really touched on what that actually is yet. Or is it that perseverance is always, you're always persevering? What would be the heartbeat of your story if you could really just say, this is what I want people to really hear?
You know, I have told countless people that I'm a mystery, and they all look at me kind of like, what? And I say that kind of comically, because I think one thing that folks should know is, truth be told, I'm not, I kind of just wear everything on my sleeve. I am who I am. I try to walk and be as authentic as I can. And I'm very real with when I'm struggling. And it happened last night with a friend. I was really open and real to say, I'm struggling right now. And it was on the topic of being gay. And I said, I'm struggling with this. So that's what I want folks to know, that I really am not a mystery. What you see, what you get, and you're going to, you know, hear somebody that's really open and saying, I'm struggling right now. Let's talk about this. And I think that that's important, especially in our community, because we, you know, we need everybody to come together and to support each other. So openness, I guess, is a strong word for who I am as an individual. Yeah.
I really love that you're sharing that, because basically one of the core messages I'm pulling from that is you're not going to get any better or feel any better if you don't be open. And nobody's going to say, Zachary, that it's not easy. There is no ease to being completely open and vulnerable. I mean, people say to me all the time, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're so open and vulnerable about stuff that you share on the podcast. I'm like, well, you don't realize that sometimes that's really hard. And I'm not doing it to grandstand. Sometimes it's like something hits, you know, since we're there. And I've said this before, but I struggle with depression. And I remember the first time I shared that on air, I'm like, wait, I don't want to really talk about that. But there was a point to it, because I used to, in a real asshole sort of way, say to my mother and my ex-wife, like, just get over it. What do you mean? You know? And then when I figured out that it was at the core essence of who I was. In fact, over these past holidays, I told my husband, I said, I haven't felt this in a long time, but I feel the depression coming up. Uh-huh. And I was really glad because I had a whole week off at the holidays to kind of just kind of do. And it really helped me, like, okay, just recenter. And what I realized for me, Zachary, is that was something I kept forgetting to do, was let myself get recentered and not hold myself to such a high standard and to share with people. So I am assuming that when you get to open up and be open and share, it's actually part of your continuing healing process and giving you strength. Is that true?
It's so true. You know, I was diagnosed in my, early, maybe mid-20s, officially with bipolar. I always knew that, you know, I was, you know, depressed and all of that, but it was, I clearly remember being in one of my first apartments. It was, all my lights were off. I was on the phone with my mom, and it was a very tense conversation because I would go from one extreme to the next, and suicide was on that agenda item, you know, whether it be that night or later. And I will give that credit to my mother for helping me realize, like, we just need to get you some help. And I had to reassure her that there was no failure as a parent and not getting me treatment or figuring this out early on, because, you know, development happens, things happen. It's also a generational thing. It depends on their generation and how mental health was seen or pretty much not seen, you know. It's that whole suck it up and, you know, deal with life. And so the treatment that has been ongoing, I will say this to myself again and your listeners, therapy is okay. It's a healthy thing. And it's okay. And I have clearly been to probably over 20 some therapists, not because I'm a therapist junkie, but you have to find the right one for what you need. And that's okay too. And I have found that one finally, to really unpack the mental health. I will say, you know, not in too much detail, trauma has existed in my past, significant trauma outside of my home that has caused confusion in being gay because of it being related to a very sensitive area, to where now I'm very cautious on how I get involved in the community, the trust factor in myself and with others, especially men in general. So yeah, I think mental health is something that is part of my authentic self, something that I talk about. And as you mentioned in my introduction, I mean, I work with children and families. It took me a little bit of time, not that I was ashamed of being somebody with bipolar, but really saying, this Mr. Z, this fun storyteller that families come to, can be sad sometimes and can go through things and has faced suicidal ideation and suicide attempts. It doesn't make me weak. It doesn't make me a horrible person or somebody that I'm not able to be trusted around kids or families. It just means that this is me. This is how my brain has wired. And so I don't do a good job of, I do a good job of checking in, but I don't do a good job of checking out and saying I need to kind of balance my life out. I attribute checking out as a way of saying I'm going to lose something. I'm going to miss out on something. And I think that will come with time.
Well, it will. Yeah. And the thing is, Zach, and I know, you know, I've been through therapy and everything as well. And when I need it, I go back. I mean, I've actually considered like, hey, maybe it's time for me to check in again. You know, not that I've ever had suicidal ideation or anything like that, but there are times I felt froze. I mean, there was a period not long ago, I literally was like, I just can't. Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't say can't. No, that's what it felt like. I can't do anything. I had no motivation. Mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, I was kind of getting back to the sullen, unhappy, never smile, never have fun Rick. And I thought, this isn't healthy for me. This is not who I want to be right now, you know? And what I realized was, okay, then what can you do? And in that moment of what can I do, I also started to realize, okay, I've been here before. Some of it was a lot slightly different. But then I started applying some of what I'd been before to how do I now step through? And it was so empowering because I realized, wow, I've actually grown through this. You know, I've actually come up through this. I think for us as men, and then you layer on the gay piece on top of it. And then if you layer on mental health issues on top of that, we have been so, and I'm not, you know, any lesbians, bi, trans, any of that. I'm not saying it's only just us guys, because I get it. It's prevalent, but there's something about being a man that none of this should, you should be able to just power through it. You should be this. You should just, that's the messages that we have got over and over and over again. Now I realize for women, there's their own set of messages like, well, you shouldn't be this, you know, you shouldn't be so emotional, all this sort of stuff. It's just so interesting to me, Zachary, that men are told, don't be emotional. Women are told you're too emotional. And then we wonder why we're so fucked up as a society. Like, can we just be emotional beings? And that's okay. That's just the standard. We are
emotional. Right. Well, and I'll say this, this is very relevant this year. I made a conscious decision professionally to step away from a role that I was, you know, had accepted. And I said that my main decision in doing that was a mental health decision. And I will say it has been very interesting because it was not received the way I thought it was going to be received. And I'm still unpacking that. And I don't know, you know, I'm a type of person that sometimes I project like as if I know that this is what people are thinking.
Right.
But I had it. Yeah, it's been a lot. And I say that and I bring that up because sometimes being open and being honest and being upfront about mental health is not necessarily received or accepted very well by
well, no, because everybody. Society is like, oh, then there's something really wrong with you. And I'm like, no, these are things that we deal with. And that pill was really hard for me to swallow when I finally realized, oh my gosh, I am literally suffering from depression, just like the people I used to say, just get over it, just get over it. And then when it hit me the hardest, it was almost to the point of, it was life-changing, but almost to the point of, I didn't know if I could actually crawl out of it. That's literally what I was thinking. I don't know if I can come out of this. And I gave myself permission to explore, okay, if I didn't, what would that look like? Once I kind of wrapped my head around it a little bit more, I started to realize, wait, I can do this. I just need the right tools, the right help, the right, I mean, I was on meds for a while. I feel really good that I'm not knocking if people still are on meds for whatever they are, because I truly believe that's part of what has to help you get through this. I just feel very blessed that I've found ways to, I hate using the word cope, but I've found ways to navigate through this that work better for me than being constantly on a medication. And actually, when I was on the medication, Zachary, I didn't feel like, oh my gosh, I was stoned or weird. I just knew it was doing its job. It was doing what needed to be done. That's what it was supposed to be doing. And well, I think sometimes that's the stigma that we fear most is, oh, you're weird, you know, stay away. And then again, if we layer this into our own community, you know, our LGBTQ community, especially the gay male community, oof, it can be kind of almost atrocious how people, when they find out, like, oh, no, you know, stay away. When in reality, there's probably a little doorway opening up for them. Like, I don't want to see this because it kind of might reflect a little bit of who I am and how I feel.
Yeah. You know, a few things. I will say this, you know, when I take my medication, I always say this, it is brain. It's what I need to be healthy in order to function. Same thing as if you need a vitamin or something like that. It's just like, well, I'm deficient in this, then I've got to have that. And the other thing about being gay, I will be honest, can be harsh sometimes in terms of trying to find that relationship, whether it be, you know, a long-term relationship or a friendship or whatever. It's like, oh, I don't want to be bothered with that. You're too layered, you're too complicated. And I'm like, okay. I wrestle with that because you're trying to find that support network. And then you start second guessing yourself and saying, okay, well, maybe I don't want to put all my problems on somebody, so I'm going to be reserved and not talk about it. Well, friends are supposed to be there to support each other. And friends are also supposed to say, hey, maybe it's time that you go find some professional guidance and help. So yeah, but being open and being authentic has always been something I wanted to strive to continue to be. So
as you've navigated through and continue to navigate through your own, you know, bipolar diagnosis, and then realizing these other gifts you have, like being twice exceptional and all these different things, what is the thing that truly motivates you and inspires you?
What motivates me and inspires me, even though like last night, it was, I'll be honest, it was a tricky night for me with mental health and stuff. But what keeps me going is thinking about individuals who may be in, you know, situations that I've been, and how I can use my life as a vessel and help them as well. Because I always think about, like, and this is going to get, maybe this is a little morbid, but I always think about, if I were to do that, if I were to make the decision to end my life, I always think about that obituary. And I always think about who's going to have to read that, from family to friends to the families that I serve, the children. And I want to say this very carefully. The decision to commit suicide, obviously, is individualistic and horrible and difficult and a tragedy. And it's not a weakness, if you will. But for me, what keeps me from not doing that is the understanding that I still have something to give. I can still see that light and still see that purpose. And I have individuals that I can lean on to support me through that challenge. So what keeps me going is knowing that I still have something to give to this world, even though there are times that I still, be honest, feel that suicide could be on the docket. I'm good now. I'm doing great. But sometimes that still comes up. But what keeps me motivated is what I still have to give to the world.
But that's a beautiful message, because for so many of us, as we navigate out of the closet and continue to navigate beyond the closet, these are things that, if you have a mantra, and that's what I'm going to say is kind of what you just shared, like, I still have something to give. I still have a reason to be. It helps you understand that, number one, you're not alone. And you do have, each one of us has something to give. And it doesn't have to be some grandiose thing. I mean, you've got a lot of accomplishments, you know, and you've done a lot of major things, and you've served on a lot of boards, and, you know, so many new things have happened for you as well. But even when all those amazing things are happening, it can be, okay, that's nice, but I still have this. I still have my bipolar diagnosis, or I still have my mental health issues, or I still struggle with my own being gay. And oftentimes people try to, like, okay, well, let's just put on the happy face and keep moving, versus, like what you said earlier, hey, here's what I'm struggling with right now.
Yeah, you know, and for me, you bring up a really good point about accomplishments and all of that. There have been many times, even before going on stage, because I present all across the United States, that those moments of my life of people telling me that I was stupid or wasn't going to make it, or using, you know, a derogatory term about being gay or whatever, They come up, you know, and it messes with my mentality. But then
Of
again,
course.
I go out there with as much confidence as I can and say, this is the platform I have right now. And I'll be honest, I live in Iowa, and not to say, I mean, definitely not the only state, but this state is not easy to navigate being gay
I'm
because
sure.
of all the laws that are being in place. But I have a strong family and a great job and supportive community. And again, that purpose comes up, you know, and it could be very easy for me to just say, I'm gonna leave and move somewhere else. And I wouldn't say that's a bad thing if people make that decision. But for me, I still have this purpose and this being of there are individuals that feel that they have to hide or to be ashamed, especially in a climate like we're in the state of Iowa. And I'm not going to be pushed out. I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm going to be myself. But that can be a challenge
Well,
at
of course it
times.
can. And you know, I live in California, and I was like, oh, you have it so easy. I'm like, well, yes and no. Depends on where you're at. I mean, I don't live in one of the gay bubbles. So do I watch my backside? Not really, but there are places around where I do live that I'm not going to openly talk about being gay, except in certain circles where I feel comfortable. But it's all relative. Every bit of this is relative, you know?
What
And
and
sometimes I feel like people don't, they make these assumptions that, oh, because of this or that, you've got it easier. Not necessarily. I think a lot of people
Well, I
put on a
think,
good front too.
yeah. And I think you bring up a good point about authenticity, because being authentic is important to me and being proud of who I am is important. However, vigilance is also important depending on where you're at. So I'm very good about being proud of my life and my accomplishments, but it's a balance when I'm at work. In my professional life, my private life is my private life. Who I love and all of that is mine. And I'll celebrate that. I'm not ashamed of that, but I'm vigilant because of, you know, situations and circumstances and stuff like that. So it's just a balance. And I'll be honest, sometimes it's a challenge, even in the community, even in the gay community. Like, oh, you need to be more open and loud. I'm like, that works for you. For me, this is how it's going to work for me. It doesn't mean that I don't value and celebrate us as a community. It's just this is the way I feel most comfortable. And part of that does come back to the trauma that was, unfortunately, you know, I was involved in early on and really regaining whatever trust is, and building off of that as well.
I also feel like this is one of the biggest challenges. And anyone who's listening who may just be like tuning in for the first time, like, yeah, I kind of feel this. I don't really want to be out the way others say I need to be out. And I've said this, you know, over 600 episodes. So I'm sure I've said this at least 600 times. How you want to be out is how you want to be out. It is not up to anybody else. Yes, if somebody really wants to be out and proud and, be their out loud, boisterous gay self, then go be that. That's you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's everybody else. Being a quiet advocate, showing up. I mean, just in some of the things, I mean, I know recently you became part of the Fred Rogers Institute program, the Educators Neighborhood. Just you showing up and being you in that space doesn't necessarily mean you have to go and say, oh, and I'm gay too. But if somebody were to find out, then it's like, wow. Okay, this is a gay guy who actually is, wow, he's contributing, he's giving back. I mean, these are the things that people don't realize. It's like you don't necessarily have to stand on a street corner or on the Capitol steps or any of these things. You can be as influential as you need to be, being just who you are.
Yeah, and I think it's important. I'll say this. I'm very proud of when we look at gay history and everything that's happened, you know, generations before me. I, you know, recently was watching an you know, a show on, I forget which streaming service, and it's a new one, and I was like, okay, you know, I can go out. I don't have to hide necessarily at the, hopefully I won't have to. I, you know, and just looking at, you know, what folks have had to fight for. Thank you. Thank you for that. I very much appreciate that. One thing that I am working with my therapist on is something that you also pointed out, which is I said to him, it's like, okay, I'm gonna go on this podcast. I'm gonna talk about being, you know, gay, and people may find out and they may say, oh my gosh, Mr. Z is on this podcast and he's gay. And you know, if that happens, again, there's my authentic self. This is who I am. And you know, celebrate it, don't celebrate it, but you know, getting more comfortable. That's where I'm struggling, is being comfortable with having both a professional as well as a personal life. So long it's been career, that they've all meshed together, and I'm trying to pull them apart and just trying to say I've got many layers as to who I am as an
I think that's a
individual.
beautiful way to say it. You're many layers. As you were speaking through that, it was taking me to the place that I often say too, like being gay is just one part of who you are. It is not the defining essence of you. Just like me being a father or me being a podcast, these are just pieces of who I am. None of this truly defines, okay, that's all I am. But what I, as you were talking through that, Zachary, one of the things that kept coming up in my mind is what a beautiful reflection of you to those people who may find out that maybe didn't know that this is my truth. Because somewhere somebody else is going to see that. Could be another, colleague that you work with. It could be some child that you work with that goes, oh, wow, Mr. Z happens to be a gay man. And look at everything he's done. It could be that one little spark that like goes, okay, then I get to be this too.
Exactly. And you know, the other thing I have to settle with, and this is a hard one for me, is I may lose people. I may lose opportunity. And I, you know, and if they want a response, like to say, you know, what, how about that? I'll say, you know, authenticity is important. And that's what I want to make sure that we are teaching children is, and why I get confused, that's the word, in my state of Iowa, like just sit down and get to know individuals and people, and know that, you know, labeling them one thing, whether it be gay, transgender, lesbian, you name it, just putting that one label and saying that's the definition of them, that's a dangerous thing,
It's a
because
very dangerous
again,
thing.
we are multi-layered. So yes, there's Zach the gay man, Zach the librarian, Zach the adjunct lecturer, Zach the, you know, the uncle. There's all these different things, but putting one label, you're creating a very dangerous pathway to have, you know, no conversation, because you're just like, oh, I'm okay. That's, and it's, and something I'm also having to wrestle with is, it's okay if they don't agree with me being gay. But I say to them that that's fine, but don't discount me as that, then we're done. Then we're no relationship. We're not going to be friends, or you're not part of my family, because what you've done is you've just created a silo and said, that's all I am. And it's like, that's not all I am. So,
Well,
yeah.
I love that you have come on to share your story, your openness, your truth to showcase this is not all you are. There's so many facets to who you are. And I'm going to invite the listeners to really step into some of the stuff that you've shared, with us today and ask themselves the question, is that all I am? Is that all I am? You're so many things. We are multi-layered, multi-dimensional beings. And whether it's I like, chocolate and you don't, that you like horror films and I don't. Whether it's that you're a gay man and they're a, heterosexual guy. There's so many layers to all of these things. And what's wrong with us having multidimensional layers as long as what we're doing isn't literally hurting somebody else? And that's always a caveat I put into that. It's like, I want people to be who they are, but really think about what you're doing. And, you know, and you, you know, this firsthand in the state of Iowa, there are things that are being done in many states right now that actually are hurting people, that are having a huge impact on people. And as we step into, you know, this year, and we march closer towards crazy election, God willing, we'll thrive through this in some way, shape or form. I want to invite everybody to just stay the course, be 100% who you are, take Zachary's advice and live by the mantra of openness. Doesn't mean you have to, again, doesn't mean you have to shout it from the street corners or, you know, anything. Just embrace what openness can do for you in your life. I was scared to death to do it too. I was so frightened by it, especially as I started to do the podcast. And then the more I did it, it wasn't like a grandstanding thing. It's like, yeah, I felt good. I realized this was, it helps me every time I get to do this. It helps me be more open and alive and like, okay, I'm living my truth. And I think what you've just demonstrated today through this podcast, Zachary, is the willingness to be open and to live your truth is part of what sets you free, regardless
absolutely
of a diagnosis or being gay or whatever it may be. So,
well, I'll say one last thing, and that is just remember you deserve to have a seat at the table.
Absolutely.
And yeah, and that's your seat. So I will leave you with that.
That's a great way to leave. I love that phrase, but you've said it in a way that felt very empowering for the listeners. Yeah. So, well, Zachary, again, I thank you so much for giving of your time today and sharing your story. And we'll have every way for if somebody wants to connect with you available on the show page for everybody to get in touch if they feel compelled. But again, thank you so much for being you and sharing yourself today with my listeners on Life Uncloseted.
You bet. Thank you.
Hey, Life Uncloseted family. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end, and it is time for all of us to sashay away and go face our fears, make those bold moves, and stand up to living our life without apology. But before you do, I've got a favor to ask of you. Would you hop over to iTunes or Spotify or Podbean or wherever it is that you're listening to this and just give us a little bit of love if you like what we're doing here at Life Uncloseted. Here's what it does. It helps other people find the show. It helps other people get to know what we're all about. And you just might help change a life. In fact, if you really want to change a life, we'd love it if you just ask a friend to take a listen and see what they think. So that's it. Love you all deeply. I'm Rick Clemons, the host of Life Uncloseted. And never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your life uncloseted.